Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand if you can, please. Hallelujah. Jesus is here.
Amen.
He's here. His Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit here. I want everyone this morning, we're going to do it this way this morning so I can get into my message, but I want you to put your hand again on your chest if you have a need in your body. You on Facebook watching, if you have need where you're at, the Holy Spirit knows how to work through technology. Any other need that you are bringing in this morning, we're going to come before the Lord and let's say, I want you all to say this with me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For my healing.
For my
deliverance.
For my health.
I thank you for my life. And I thank you for this new day. So, Lord Jesus, right now, I speak in the name of Jesus, your divine healing power flow through this congregation right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that by Jesus' stripes, it is written, we are healed. We were healed according to your written word, Father. So it's already been done. It's been accomplished on the cross. Every sickness and every disease, every cancer, every heart problem, every brain problem, eye problem, nerve problem, whatever it is, back problem, knee problem, whatever it is, we bring it to the cross because it's got to bow to Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, healing is here. Healing is here in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing in each one of our lives right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I didn't skip church today. Some of you didn't say it. I spoke on spiritual blindness here back in April in a different sense, but I felt led this Sunday again to speak on overcoming spiritual blindness. It seems to me that there's a lot of spiritual blindness in the world. The world is obvious. They're spiritually blinded. That's a given. But there's a lot of spiritual blindness in the church today. I'm amazed how many Christians today live lives exactly like the world and think nothing of it. I'm amazed at that. They will talk, act, and look like the world, like nothing's changed in their life. And Jesus said in his word, when he saves us, all things that are past become old. The old things are gone. All things become new. The Holy Spirit working in us is changing us from the inside out.
Yes.
But even after years, some people still are living just like the world. And we're in such dangerous times right now with the world changing as quickly as it is and the events of the world telling us that the soon return of Jesus Christ is so intimate, but yet it seems like the church is still asleep, still playing games. And I feel challenged to want to speak on that today, that it will speak to your and my heart, that we can have the Holy Spirit sensitive, that we can hear him and listen to him and see him moving in our lives, because people's souls are at stake.
Amen.
Families' lives are at stake. We will make decisions contrary to this word. Christian people will make decisions in their lives contrary to this, knowing it's not right, but trying to justify it in some means when it's contrary to what the book says. And I understand that we are all at different levels in our walk with the Lord. I understand that. I am. We never quit learning. Even when it's time, until we go to the grave, we never quit learning the things of God. And that's why I always repeatedly say that when I'm preaching to the congregation, I'm preaching to myself also. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me, but I want the Word of God to do something within me that will change me, that the world out there will know, what is it about that guy that's different than me? I want it, whatever it is. But the world's not clamoring. And it really, It's sad. It's sad that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who choose not to open their spiritual eyes and realize the hour that we're living in, and still will continue on in the same path and not worry about anything. You still with me? I'm going to give you the truth.
Praise God.
And it's got to be the truth because Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And every day people are dying within the Christian community as well as in the worldly community. Every moment somebody's going into eternity and people are still asleep. And that's why I feel strongly about speaking on this today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here today. I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will open spiritual deaf ears today and open spiritual blinded eyes today to receive your word, dear God, that it will not be a word of condemnation, but of urgency of the time that we're living in, knowing that, Lord, even you said, now is the day of salvation, because you know how limited we are. We can lose our life within a moment. And so, Father, let this word today be a challenge to us. Let it be an encouragement as well as a correction, or whatever needs to, however the Holy Spirit wants to move in each individual heart at different levels, wherever we're at, on Facebook or in this building right now, that when we leave today, when we shut this off through Facebook, that our life will change in some way, because not because of me, but because of your holy word, Lord, because you preach, you put it in the book for a purpose. And we are to rejoice, for this is the day that you made, and you want to complete your word in people's lives even today. So, Lord, we thank you for that opportunity, and we commit this time to you, all for your glory, in all for your honor, in all praise to you, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all you people said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we go. Got your seatbelts on?
Yes.
Good. Praise the Lord. So, again, spiritual blindness is a condition that an individual has when he or she is unable to see God or understand his message, and as a result, walking against the will of God. Walking against the will of God, when we are spiritually blinded and we willingly walk against the will of God. Remember Peter in the scripture when he rebukes Jesus for speaking about Jesus' upcoming death? Peter was thinking a whole different way than God was thinking. See, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And Peter was only thinking in the physical, the natural term and everything, and he rebuked Jesus when Jesus said he must die. But Jesus, at that point, Peter was spiritually blinded. He was spiritually blinded. So here it says in Mark 8:33, when he had turned about and looked on it, Jesus speaking of, turned and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Jesus, or Peter, excuse me. It says, Mark 8:33, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That was Jesus looking at Peter, talking to Peter. That'd be pretty harsh, wouldn't it? To have the Lord saying, Satan, get behind me. Well, look at Peter. Revelation 3:19 says, you say, how can a loving God do that? Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Did you hear that? Jesus used the word repent. So it isn't automatic. We just don't walk around doing fa-la-la, anything we want to do. Even here in Revelation, last book of the Bible, Jesus said repent.
Yes.
We're required to repent of sin within our life. And we need to remember that. But although God is working all around us and pursuing us and showing us his glory, some people cannot perceive his divine working because they're spiritually blinded. That's why people are living the way they want, because they don't think Jesus is coming. Because they've listened to the preacher behind the pulpit that says it's been preaching that, he's been saying that for 2,000 years that he's coming soon. And so people are just relaxed and not concerned about anyone else other than just wanting to have a good time in the world. I even had a preacher tell me one time when I told him that, I said, I'm excited, Jesus is coming. And that pastor looked me in the eye and said, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. My mouth went from here to here. And I said, what did you say? And that's why people are the way to be. We need to be aware at every moment that Christ may return for the church. At every moment. And we're living in such a time. The world's never going to be the same ever again. We crossed the line in many, many areas. We're students in school, I can't imagine some of the stuff happening today with what they're being taught and by liberalism and everything else going on. The warfare is heated up. Satan is heated up the war. And we are in a fight for our souls and for our children and for our lives. And we need to be on guard. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, people, get loud on this.
Right.
We got to let the world know that we mean business, and we do. We don't apologize. We are not the tail. We are the head.
Yeah. Amen.
Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Stand for what you believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be spiritually blind can also be translated as being spiritually ignorant, foolish, and undiscerning. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit living in us, if you're here today and you are a born-again Christian, blood bought, amen? You're born again. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Oh, we give our life to Christ, and he is the one working within us and giving us the discernment of things happening around us and within our lives, as well as what's in the world. But there are many that are not alert. They're not alert to what's happening around them. This means that to be spiritually blind, a spiritually blind individual, spiritual things are unreasonable and meaningless, and such individuals cannot benefit accordingly. That's why a lot of Christians are walking out of the blessings of God, because they're living the way they want to live instead of being spiritually alert to what's happening in their life and what is being influenced in their life by what they're looking at, what they're seeing, who they're hanging out with, and what they're doing and what's in their mind. This is the warfare. This is the place, the battleground up here. And they're not aware, and they're missing out on the greatest things of life, and that's serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I watched a little 5-year-old girl on TV one time get filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues.
Yeah.
She sat on there speaking in tongues, a little 5-year-old girl excited about Jesus.
Praise God.
I hope and pray that young girl, now probably fully grown, is still living for Jesus and still speaking in tongues and still excited about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to cover quickly this morning the topic under three subheadings of this one. The causes of spiritual blindness, the consequences of spiritual blindness, and the cure for spiritual blindness. Amen?
Amen.
So you got your Holy Ghost ears on.
Amen.
Glory to God. And your Bibles.
That's right. Yes.
Got some Bibles here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So number one, the causes of spiritual blindness. There are several causes of spiritual blindness, and this is just some of them. First, satanic bondage. Satanic bondage. Satan blinds human minds from understanding God's good news, and he does.
Yeah, he does.
He does a good job at it, too. This is the case where with everyone who is yet to receive the free gift of salvation, especially after several opportunities of being able to give their life to Christ, and they reject it. Every time they come to church and they hear the gospel and the salvation message is given and they reject it, they become more and more spiritually blinded. Literally. Pretty soon it doesn't mean a thing. I watch people during the altar call. Many, not many, but some people even in this church will walk out the back door before church is done. The most important part of the sermon is when we make a call for the lost.
Amen.
That's the most important part. And we need to take that seriously, because you and I say it all the time. Everybody in here has got someone in their life who's lost, who will go in to an eternal hell unless they get born again. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. maybe some of them might even be watching on that Facebook. We don't even know.
Yeah.
We got people all around the world that watch on this thing.
Yeah.
And we need to be soul winners.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to be witnessing. How many people have tracts in your cars that you can hand out? Not very many hands up here, but I tell you, I keep them too. If they don't listen to me, I give them a track. I don't care if they throw it away. God will let the Holy Spirit will give somebody else to read it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, that's who it is, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why when people come to church, I ask the people, please be mindful of everybody in here, the person sitting next to you, the visitor that comes in the back door. We don't know where they are at spiritually. And when we're fiddling around on our telephones and we're doing this and that and chit-chatting back and forth during the service when the preacher's preaching or anything else, we're distracting people from hearing the gospel that needs to hear it. Because I read you the gospel. Satan wants to hide the gospel from the lost.
Amen.
I don't want to be one of those people to make that happen. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be respectful of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's here. Whether we feel Him, see Him, doesn't make any difference. He's here.
Amen. He is.
He's here.
Yes.
Because we walk by faith, not by how we feel or we think or we sense. We know that where two or three are gathered in His name, He's here in the midst of us.
Yes.
Spiritual stubbornness. When people deliberately and continually turn against God, He will allow them to be spiritually blind as a way of dealing with their stubbornness. And we've got people within the church that are very stubborn. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what any of my family thinks or anybody else. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's spiritual stubbornness. When it's contrary to the Word of God. See, this is such a loving book.
Yes, yeah, true.
God loves us so much, He tells us the truth and guides us by His written word in here. And He just wants us to have a great life, an abundant life on this earth, and experience His presence even in the midst of trial. God's in the middle of our trials.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 15, 16. For this people's heart is waxed gross. You know what that wax gross, I was researching it, what it means? It means to stupefy, to render callous. That's what wax gross means. And so I thought, well, okay, it's stupefy. So I looked up stupefy, to make stupid. Sin makes us stupid. We think we're wise and smart and cunning and all that. But in actuality, if you're a Christian and you're living in sin, you've become stupid. The world's already stupid.
Yeah.
But when Christ saves us, we've got the glorious light of the gospel sanctifying us, cleansing us. But when we become stubborn against it, we become stupid.
Yeah.
God put that in there. I didn't write that. He said, you act gross. That word stupefy means to make dull. You become dull when you become stupid. To be unable to think clearly. To be sensitive to our surroundings. You're in a daze. You don't sense what God is doing in the world. You don't sense the seriousness of the moving of the Holy Spirit in the land, because you become stupid and callous. Callous meaning hardened. Hardened in your emotions, hardened in your heart, and you get harder and harder and harder every time you rebel against the Holy Spirit. That's serious stuff, isn't it, people?
Yes.
And it goes on to say, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Whoa! And I should heal them. What a loving God. He wants us to be spiritually alert.
Yes, yes.
He knows the blessings come when we're spiritually We can hear, and we can see, and we obey. Healing comes, spiritually, physically. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's a promise from God.
Yes.
Why do we want to live in spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness? Mm-hmm. When God says we will be blessed when we live in with our eyes open and our ears open to His Spirit. Why do we do that? The church has got to get its act together yeah. in these end times that we're living and be the church.
Yeah.
Whether we're going into a restaurant or living in our own homes with our own family, we should do things that glorify God.
Yes.
Not because we're spiritual idiots or Bible thumpers. We do it because we serve a loving God that saved us from an eternal hell.
Yes. Yeah.
And I want to glorify Him in all that I do. Do I do it perfectly? No, none of us do. But with God's help, I want to honor Him in every area of my life with His help to do it. Amen?
Amen.
We need to, brothers and sisters. Time is running out. Number three, not being filled with or not yielding to the Holy Spirit. We must have God's Holy Spirit and yield to His guidance continually to be able to fully see spiritually. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me each and every day. When I go into the supermarket, wherever I'm going, to the dealership or whatever I'm doing in life regular to the next door neighbor, I have to have the sense of the Holy Spirit at all times guiding my heart in order to glorify Him and to show the lost who He is if should God open that door. And I tell you what, I've learned through my experiences, and my wife will confirm that, in my travels of sales most of my life, I love witnessing. And if you ask God to give you somebody to witness to, He's going to do it. But you got to be spiritually aware when the door opens. And I've shared the gospel with many people. And I'm saying it to brag on myself. I'm saying it to know that if you want to serve God and see the power of God move in your life, you need to get excited and ask the Holy Spirit to let you witness to somebody. We need to share this good news that we got. Hallelujah. We got to do it, people. We are the ones God commanded to go out and reach a lost world. He does it through us. And we falter because we become spiritual blind in many ways of our life because we rebel against His word. We live the way we want to live or the way we think we can live or the way we think God's okay with me because I love Him and I do a lot of good works. No. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is active continually. He sees our motives. He sees our intentions. He sees every aspect of our life. He's working continually, wanting us to become like Jesus, guiding us. But when we become spiritually blinded, we try to block Him out because we want what we want. Nobody going to take away from me. Like little babies. That's why they go, wah, 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 because they want something. And we do the same thing. We get depressed, whatever. That's our way of crying out. But when we surrender our thoughts and our actions and our deeds to God, the Holy Spirit begins to move in a supernatural way. And that's what people are missing. And then being trapped by lust. We have so many today trapped by lust. When one is engulfed by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, spiritual blindness will be inevitable. They won't even spiritually hear. They will hear it, but do nothing about it because they're spiritually blinded and deaf. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Don't blame the devil when you make the choice. judgment day is going to be a surprising day. Oh, the devil's active. He supports it. But we're free will agents. Some Christians today are blinded by sinful lust of the flesh, meaning the body, the lust of the eyes, the soul, the pride of life, the spirit. And these are the things that Satan used against Eve in the garden. The very thing. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And it causes spiritual blindness."
Yes.
And there's many that sit in churches all across this country that are spiritually blind. And not to top that off, they shut the lights off, paint the ceilings black, and blow smoke.
Yes. Yes.
Just like the world does. When people need to see the light, that God is the Father of lights.
That's right.
And Jesus is the light of the world. We're to praise Him in openness.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Number 5, allegiance to false teachers and prophets. When one is being led by those in spiritual darkness, it will become difficult to be enlightened spiritually. And I've had conversations with people listening to prophets today. They're coming out of the woodwork, people. You wouldn't believe how spiritually I get beat up when I hear something that's not scriptural from these so-called prophets. But people will defend the prophet even if it's against what it says here. Because they're spiritually blinded. And they would rather defend that prophet because they mentioned the name of Jesus in their prophecy. I always tell them to read Jeremiah 23, verses 16 through 25. When God says, they aren't speaking for me. They're talking about their own desires. Matthew 5:14, let them alone. When you hear these false teachers and prophets, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's what Jesus said. Let them alone. I'm letting them alone. They want to follow some false prophet? Go ahead. Jesus said in His word more than once, beware of false prophets and teachers, especially in the hour that we're living. And they're popping out of the woodwork, people. When I hear prophets stand up and use curse words, and then try to justify it and call people who come against him and say that wasn't right. He tells them to go to hell. I don't follow prophets like that. Yeah. Jesus didn't tell us to go to hell. He came to save us.
Amen.
And we need to be aware. But how come so many Christians are so spiritually blinded, we will fall for anything when the Word of God is right here and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us?
Yeah.
In Isaiah's day, Isaiah 9:16, for the leaders of this people causes them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. That's a warning.
Yeah.
False prophets and false teachers will destroy us.
Yeah.
If we're spiritually blinded. Isaiah 9:15, the ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. The first part's talking about God. He's the head and he's honorable.
Yes.
The false prophet is the tail, but people are following the tail and wagging with him instead of depending upon the head who warned us. So also in our days, many false prophets and teachers are misleading some brethren who do not love the truth. It's because they don't love the truth. They don't want to obey the Word of God. They want to feel good in the way they're doing things contrary to the Scripture. And so they'll live their lives out that way, and they will not emulate Christ in any way. Maybe in front of people they will, but in their homes, behind the scenes, they're a whole different person, and God sees that. Because we're spiritually blinded, we think God doesn't see it. We forget God sees it. As a result, these brethren are walking in spiritual darkness, blinded. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Oh, they look good. They're charismatic.
Yeah.
They know the Word of God.
Yeah.
They preach the gospel and then give false prophecies. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. That word vain there means in your actions, in your words, in your deeds, your expectations, and they lead you astray. That's what vain there means. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Boy, isn't that great that God tells us the truth?
Amen.
Oh, I know, it doesn't feel as good. You know, these prophets, if you listen to them, they say everything that you and I want. We want to see our enemies destroyed. We want to see everything put back properly in place, just the way it was. We want to see all the riches of the world coming onto the Christian. Almost all of them, that's what they prophesy. God tells me the earth is going to get darker and darker. And they're encouraging us to buy gold and silver, and they forget to read in Scripture. The Bible says there will be a point when they'll throw their silver and their gold in the streets.
Amen.
And they're being led astray. But they're spiritually blinded because they don't do any research or study the Word of God for themselves. And we need to be aware of that. Are you blindly following a preacher? Because he or she is very popular with the crowds. I know people that will, they will rebuke you and never want to talk to you again if you say one word about certain preachers. And I can tell you at least a handful of really well-known charismatic preachers that are very well-known throughout the world that some people, even in churches like this all around the country, will defend them and think the preacher is nothing but an angry, despiteful, hateful person, in not realizing that these five people are leading you astray. One preacher that's well known, I'm not going to get into names today, but he preaches that you don't have to repent of sin. I listened to him. This isn't just something I heard through gossip. I listened to him on his message, and I'm sitting there thinking, I was confronted by a sister in the Lord that just swears by that person that he's the greatest person in the world. But he says we don't have to repent of sin. Now, Jesus, I just read at the very beginning, what did Jesus say to people? He said, repent. But you know why? Because people become spiritually blinded. They're looking for that charismatic, feel good, look good, whatever type person. But it's better to be aware of the evil that's going to destroy us, that when we walk out the door, we know that we're going to be okay. Because we're going to stand on the Word of God. We're going to trust God to be our Savior, our Deliverer, our Helper, our Supplier. So whatever the world throws out, we've got the answer. It's right here. God will send manna from heaven if you're hungry.
Yes.
He'll send manna. We'll see it come out of the sky. He'll stop a few birds, maybe a pheasant, in your driveway for you to take if you need him. He can do that. How many want a pheasant in your driveway? Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's the Bereans is talking about. They studied the scriptures daily. They weren't being led astray. They were smart. And that's what God put that in there as an example. We need to be in the Word of God daily. Yeah. And the hour that we're living, especially being aware that the Holy Spirit will guide us and protect us from being spiritually blinded and led astray. Mm-hmm. We need to be in the Word daily. Don't believe what I say. Take these scriptures yourself and read them, studying them yourself.
Amen.
I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm just preaching the Word of God, the Scripture, what I feel in my heart I got to do. But don't trust me. Trust the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Hidden identity as a believer, number six. hidden identity as a believer. Some Christians are not bold to declare their identity as Christians because they fear what others may think. They become spiritually blinded. Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels." That's pretty serious. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
My attitude is, me personally, if anybody in the world or anybody in the church can tell me something that's not correct, dirty, whatever, swear, whatever, I have no problem whatsoever with, hopefully with Christian love and correctness, saying that's not scriptural, or I don't talk that way, I don't listen to dirty jokes, and this is the reason why I don't. I don't drink, and this is why I don't drink. I let them know. We witness. I'm not ashamed to tell them. I've watched God do many works in people's lives because I stood for what the Word of God says, not being ashamed. But a lot of people are ashamed. And that's why you don't hear much witnessing going on like you did back in the 70s. And a lot of it is because Christians aren't living the way they're supposed to. They're spiritually blinded. They don't know what to say if they were confronted. Because they're out there and they're living just like the world. And how can you tell the world about Jesus when you're just like them? And so they're quiet. They never share the gospel. They're smoking, drinking, cursing, doing everything else, things that will destroy a person's life. But if you're living for Christ in this, and you're spiritually alert and awake, you will listen for somebody that's crying in their heart, "I need Jesus." When you have somebody walking up to you that maybe is angry and whatever, the Holy Spirit said, "Tell them about me and I can deliver them from their anger and save their soul." When we were in Red Lodge, Montana one year, Brahm, my son-in-law, was with me. We were driving down Main Street, and I'm sure Brahm remembers it. Wave at me if you remember that, Brahm. I saw a man sitting on a bench on Main Street. And I said to Brahm, "I'm going to pull the vehicle over." I said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to witness that man on that bench right there for some reason. I sat down next to him on the street. Brahm was standing there, and I went and I sat down to him. I looked at the man and I said, "You ever think about dying?" And he looked at me and said, "All the time. All the time." I said, "Can I tell you something that will help you, and not only now, but for all eternity?" And he said, "Yes." And I shared the gospel with that man for about 20 minutes sitting on that bench. I gave him a tract when I got done too. Told him about salvation, Christ's love for him, that if he repented of his sinful life. Because I asked him if he was a good person, he said yes. So I took him through that scenario. He found out that he was a dirty old sinner. But he gave his life to Christ on Main Street. And that's the way I like to live my life, to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's somebody that needs Jesus out there. Maybe it's a brother and sister that's living in sin, and the Holy Spirit said, "You need to go and encourage and correct that person." Not correct them yourself, but the Word of God. If you know somebody's living in sin, you don't justify that person's sin.
No.
You don't justify it. You don't condone it. You go and say and encourage them, walk away from it, repent of it, and get away from it. It'll destroy you. They may get angry. I've had my Bible thrown on the ground. I've had different things called dirty names for witnessing. But it always encouraged me because I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do. I said, "It's working, Lord. They must recognize something different." I didn't get angry. And that's what we need to do. Some so-called preachers fear that they will lose their jobs and they won't preach the gospel behind the pulpit. Or they want to be popular, so they quit speaking on certain subject matters. It can be, you know, Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe."
Yes.
I'm safe when I'm out witnessing. I'm safe when I preach the gospel, whether behind this pulpit or out there. I'm safe. I'm not worried what man thinks. I want to be respectful. I want to be loving. But I'm going to be bold as a lion if the Lord desires me to speak the truth.
Yes.
And not worry what man thinks. If I do, I could fill this church up probably in a month if I changed the way I preached. Literally. I'd put an advertisement in the Coon Rapids paper. Free coffee. Come as you are. Doesn't make any difference. Do church. Come to my campus. Your kids will have fun, games, all kinds of fun things. Come and experience what church is really like. I could bring a lot of different people in here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for preaching the truth.
See, the missions that I talked about earlier, that's what we're doing. We're putting missions out. Don't look at the size of this church. Look at what God's doing through your faithfulness to Him. We're reaching lost all around the world. You could have 10,000 people in here not preaching the gospel, and you have 10,000 people that will be lukewarm. Because if the preacher's lukewarm, the congregation will be lukewarm. Not everybody all the time, but most. I'm not here to be popular. The apostles set perfect examples of fearlessness. Acts chapter 5, 28, 29, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name when they were after him? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. These guys were preaching the truth to these Pharisees and Sadducees. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I love those apostles. Peter wasn't that way at one time. He was spiritually blinded. Remember that? He got filled with the Holy Ghost. Number 7, preconceived ideas or traditions. Traditions has caused many to reject the truth of God's word without giving it a fair hearing. Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And the Bible strongly warns against adding and subtracting to the word of God. Certain faiths, like I've talked to Catholic people especially. I'll be a Catholic. My grandpa was a Catholic. My daddy was a Catholic. My mama was a Catholic. My uncles and aunts were Catholics. I'm a Catholic, and I'll never not be a Catholic. Tradition. I was a Lutheran. I was a lovely Lutheran. But when God saved me, I realized that my tradition in the Lutheran religion had nothing to do with my relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Nothing. Amen. God's not going to have Catholic, Lutheran, Buddha, and all the rest of them up in little corners in heaven. There won't be nothing like that up there. It's going to be Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
That's what it's going to be. Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But tradition will kill people for eternity. But many are entangled in religious error because they are unwilling to examine what the Bible teaches and practice and compare it to what God says. They're unwilling to do it. They just want to hang on to their tradition. So I'll switch over into the consequences of spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, if not dealt with through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, has great consequences on the life of both the person and the people around them. Say the people around them.
People around them.
Is there people around you?
Yes.
Yeah. your life affects somebody else too. Maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your uncle, maybe it's your aunt, maybe it's your grandpa, grandma, dad, mom. Somebody you're affecting in your life. Some of the consequences are enumerated below, but are not limited to the list that I'm going to cover, and it's not that many. Lack of understanding of the perfect will of God. When somebody is spiritually blind, he cannot fully discern or understand what the perfect will of God is. They can't. We can see the example of Balaam, who was going on a journey, if you remember that journey that he was going on. He had the assurance of doing the will of God, but was surprised that God was against his going. God didn't want him to go where he was going. And I don't have time to get into the story, but I'll touch on it in Numbers 22:31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. His donkey was smarter than him. God spoke through the donkey because Balaam was spiritually blinded and he couldn't understand where the donkey wouldn't go. Couldn't go. He didn't know that there was an angel with a sword ready to kill him. But the donkey knew, because his donkey was spiritually alert and could see. But Balaam was spiritually blind and he didn't know he was going to be slaughtered. Sometimes you think you have a green light, but God puts up a roadblock.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Why did that roadblock happen? Why is it there? And you try to get around that area, try to justify the scripture and way you live or what you want to do, and you try to get around it, and it seems like there's a stop sign. Be aware of this roadblock. That could be from the Holy Spirit. Could be from the Holy Spirit. Balaam was unable to see the angel of God standing on his way because he was blind spiritually. God directly spoke and said, "Thou shalt not go." He told Balaam that twice. But he wouldn't listen because he was spiritually blind. He'd rather listen to the false prophet. You see, like many today, he was zealous, pursuing a course that God is not pleased with, but being deceived with a fake assurance of the approval of a God. Thought God was for him because I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. So if I live this way or speak this way or act this way, God's okay with me. I've given my life to Jesus. I'm born again. And you think there's no penalty? There will be. There will be. Not because God hates, not because God condemns, but because he loves. Because he loves. Somebody get that for me? Lack of understanding of God's provisions and blessings. A lot of things the Lord is doing that we cannot see or receive due to spiritual blindness. See, God is doing a work amongst us even while we're sitting here today, whether you believe that or not. He is. He's preparing and doing something for you and me right now for the future. We can see Hagar in the scriptures, and these stories are so good, you got to read them. I don't have time to get into all of them, but they're really fascinating to see how God moves in our personal lives. Hagar crying because she needed a bottle of water. Her son and her were dying. Their food was gone. Their water was gone. And they were crying. And she left her son to die. Genesis 21:19. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. She was spiritually blinded. There was a well right next to her full of water. But she wasn't willing to look around because she was spiritually blind. And God had to open her spiritual eyes to say, hey, there's a well right there full of water. And many times God's got your need right next to you, but you miss it and you take things into your own hands and do wrong things, say wrong things, act wrong ways because you don't see that God has already supplied the need that you have right there, but you don't see it because you're still spiritually blinded. You don't do what it says in here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we go off and do our own little worldly things and we miss God. Heaven's going to be exciting.
Amen.
It's also going to be full of... God's got to wipe those tears away. Because we're going to see how much we missed serving a holy God. And how much He cared and how much He truly loves us. Lack of insight and understanding of spiritual revelation. A spiritual blind person would lack insight into the Word of God and cannot fully understand spiritual. They can read the Word and that's all they do is read it, but they don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart to change them from the inside out. Not to be better than anybody, but to change us, to make us like Christ. That we walk in the power of His might, that we become the sons of God. After resurrection, some disciples that were with Jesus could not recognize Him. Remember that? Until He opened their eyes. It says in Luke 24, 30, 31, and it came to pass as He sat meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. Jesus was there and they didn't even know it. Because they were spiritually blinded, God had to open their eyes. There's an example in the Old Testament, it escapes me right now, the address. But they cried out and said, God was here, and we didn't even know it. Lack of understanding of divine presence, protection, and power. God is always present with His people and always protecting them from evils and dangers by the power of His presence. Many Christians get themselves into deep problems and serious situations and dangerous situations because they don't listen and they don't see God moving and working in their lives. They take matters into their own hands. But God is with us. But when one is spiritually blind, he cannot understand and recognize or benefit from divine protection. It all goes back to trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
Repeatedly throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God says, trust me, trust me. I've been in mission trips in Russia where they tried to pull me into a train car and rob me. I knew it, what they were trying to do. And I knew that God was going to protect me, and He did. I pulled my arm away because they grabbed my arm and I pulled it away. And I said, Nit! Loud to them. But they knew who we were. We were mission. We were on a mission. But I trusted God. And I give you other examples too. Luggage, lost my luggage in Moscow, Russia. Big airport, the biggest one. And then the next day we went to the smaller one. Thousands of people there too. But guess where my luggage was? It wasn't in the big one. It was in the small one where I was sitting on a bench thinking, I don't have any luggage. And all of a sudden here comes this here guy walking across with a cart. And I looked and I said, that's my luggage. Trust in the Lord. I didn't cry. I didn't whimper. I just said, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know I'm going to make it through the 2 weeks here, but I'm going to trust you. And then all of a sudden, here comes a guy with my luggage right up to me. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him. He didn't know what I looked like. I didn't know what he looked like. But here he comes. And I went over, and I said, this is my luggage, and I picked it up. Trust Him.
Yes.
Trust Him. Hallelujah. Lack of understanding the devices of the devil. One of the ways the devil keeps people in bondage and afflicts them is through them to be ignorant of his devices and strategies through spiritual blindness. Spiritual enlightenment will enable one to fully be aware of devices and strategies of the devil. And such individuals cannot suffer oppression from the devil because many people fall into sin and fall into things because they are spiritually blinded, not discerning and not seeing spiritually that something may look good, but it's something that will destroy them. Amen?
Yeah.
We can want to do the right thing, but be spiritually blinded, ended up doing the wrong thing. Satan will entice us and bring things. He knows. He's been doing it for centuries. He knows every individual there. He knows how to do it with his minions. And many times Christians will fall into situations and things and take things and do things and think, I thought it was of God because the person said Jesus. You know, when I marry people, I won't marry a Christian to a non-Christian. Why won't I? Because God said, don't do it. That's why I don't do it. Because Sister Susie or Brother Kenny, whatever their names are, think, well, we're going to make it. High chance they won't. They'll destroy one another. It's hard enough when you're Christians. We need to be aware of that. We need to open our spiritual eyes. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, Satan can defeat a Christian or a congregation. Or a congregation. Either though that Christian or congregation condoning sin or the refusal to forgive. I do not condone sin. I will not condone it. I do not want that to be the part of the church. I've been in a church where that was condoned and it had a big effect on the whole church. Yeah. People were getting, weren't they? The people getting divorced, families. Several of them in a large church because it was not addressed from the pulpit. I don't compromise. And I'm not saying how perfect I am. I'm asking God always to help me not to compromise in this ministry. I won't do anything in this ministry with God's help that will compromise it or you. It's important. Whether people don't like it, that's their problem between them and God. I got to answer to him one day, and that's the one I care about. I would rather walk off here if you said I disagree with you and never come back in here. Lack of understanding of hidden treasure. Things are not usually the way they appear to be, right? It takes spiritual insight and enlightenment to discern the content and the true nature of things above they appear to be. When Lot looked at the plain, think about that. When he looked at the plain, and another big story, and I can't get into all of it, he could only see that the place where the water was. He saw the good, perfect things out of his eyes when he was with Abraham. He wanted to be where all the water and the green grass and all the things were cool. Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, which was milk and honey, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He was vexed every day of his life. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But that's where Lot wanted to be. And we've got many today within the church that want to sit close to the bars, be in the bars, be with worldly people. They want to hang on. They want to hang on. Spiritual blindness makes a lot of people make wrong choices, let alone being stupid, because they were attracted by what the physical eye could see. Their tents today, many Christians got their tents pitched in the world. And part of it in the church. And they don't realize they're destroying themselves and their families by compromising and permitting it. We got to be careful, people. Eternity is a long time.
Yes.
A lot of good things have been rejected because they appear to be spiritually blind. Christians never have any fun. I have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've been a Christian since I've been 21. I've been having a lot of fun. You know what's fun to me? Going out and letting the Holy Spirit lead me to somebody who needs Jesus.
Yes.
worshiping him and praising him. And when I'm depressed, when I'm hurting, I can run to him. That makes me happy.
Amen.
When I was in the world, I drank. I did different things. Because that's what we do in the world as sinners. But when Jesus saved me, I got more fun now. I wake up every morning knowing that Jesus may come. Jesus is going to do something new in my life. And when I have a need or something changes or bad or good or whatever it is, he's interceding in my life some way, somehow, because we put our trust in the Lord. Okay, I'll try to move a little faster here. See, in Christ Jesus, we've received the power to be called the children of God, with full recognition, authority, and benefit from God himself. That's what he gives us when we come to him. Lack of understanding who you are and what you have. In Christ, we have received the power to be called the children of God with full recognition of authority and benefit. He's given all that to us. Think about that. People glorify the devil. Look at how they're glorifying the devil today. They're glorifying a loser. He has no power. Brahm talked about his missing tooth. The devil has none. He can only roar, put fear and deceit, deception. That's all he can do. He cannot harm you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He can only harm you if you allow him to, by deception and fear. Spiritual blindness makes us forget our identity and our inheritance in the kingdom. When everyone seeing Goliath the champion, David was seeing Goliath the uncircumcised Philistine. Everybody was scared of that old giant, but not King David. That young man, he looked at him, because he was a young man of God, and he looked at him and he said, "Don't you make fun of my God."
Amen.
1 John 4:4, "We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Satan wants to blind you of this. He wants to blind you of it. David understood who he was and what he had, and so he was able to defeat. If you're coming against the Goliath, do not fear. There will be situations in these end times, even more and more as persecution picks up, where we will be confronted with fearful things, and we're to look at it and say, "My God, I will put my trust in him. Greater is he than what's being threatened in my life right now." We need to do that, people. And lastly, the cure for spiritual blindness. God does not want us to be spiritually blind, as this will hinder our healthy relationship with him and prevent the fulfillment of his purpose in our life. Some people say, "What's God's purpose in my life? What is it?" You'll never know if you're spiritually blinded. If you allow the devil to do it the devil's way, you'll never know. I learn God's purpose in my life every single day when I trust him, when I'm led of his Holy Spirit. Number one, I already know the purpose of God for my life. First, he chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. Can you believe that? He chose me. And I know his purpose for my life. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," even when I was a young man in sales. I took that seriously. I preached the gospel. That was my purpose, and still is my purpose, and always will be my purpose. And everything else is benefit. Therefore, God had made provisions available for everyone who desires to know the truth and be free from the bondage of spiritual blindness. To be free from it. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to keep us from becoming spiritually blinded. We need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's the one to lead us into all truth.
Right.
Effective. And why, you know, isn't it amazing today how many of the big churches, they don't want the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues?
Yeah.
They don't want people laying hands on people. They don't want you speaking in tongues. Isn't that amazing? The very one that we need to lead and guide us into all truth is the one that's being told we shouldn't practice that within the campus church. Baloney. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of it. I lay hands on the sick and they will be healed.
Amen.
I trust the Holy Spirit working through me will even increase as the hour draws short. The power of prayer also is awesome to remove evil veils covering the eyes of so many believers. 1 John 5, 14, 15, and getting close to the end here. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen?
Amen.
And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. There's a key phrase in here I'll bet some of you overlooked. If we ask anything according to His will, not mine. According to His will. Say it to, look at somebody, say, according to His will.
According to His will.
See, you each reminded each other's that now. According to God's will.
Right.
If it's God's will, I do this, then I'll do it. According to God's will, it's already expressed in here. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's His will. It's so simple, spiritually blinded people can't even see it. God's will is all printed out right in here for you and I. Every part of our life is in here. Every one of us. His will's in here. Now, I know we got the silly little things like, should I buy the red car or the blue car? It may not be a big deal, but maybe to you it might be. So, yeah, okay. Lord, if it's Your will for me to have the red car. But see, if you say, well, I don't really care what you think, God, I'm going to go get the red car anyway, and you buy the red car and find out it's got a bogus tranny in it.
Oh.
And the blue car is perfect. It's good to pray about everything, isn't it? Delight in the meditation of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It's power.
Amen.
There's power when you preach it in faith. When you put your trust in the Lord and you preach it, there's power there. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When I look at somebody sharing the gospel of Jesus, I do it with power. I don't yell at them. I might have to sometime. But normally when I witness, I do it with power. I speak the Word of God in power, and the Holy Spirit goes and does the work.
Right.
The power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Word of God is a light in the entrance. If it gives light and understanding to those who receive it. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yeah. You may say, my lamp's gone out. Then get a new battery. Get charged up. Begin to read the light of the Word and get charged up. Get your lamp shining and glowing.
Amen.
And it'll again guide and lead you. Some lamps have gone out. They need to get back into this and obey it. Most exciting thing in the world is when you obey it. Because the light bulb gets brighter. You are the light of the world. The salt. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Today, many Christians sit on their pews and their chairs and they do nothing to share the gospel. But if you get the light of the Word of God in you burning so much, people will come and watch you burn. And they want to hear it. Even though they fight against, they want to hear it. They want to hear somebody that's got some faith in something.
Yes.
And we need to do that. John 16, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Effective fervent prayer. Prayer is the primary weapon of fighting against spiritual blindness. The very thing, again, I've said many times we don't do as we should. It's impossible to see spiritual things if you don't spend time in taking specific prayers of removing the veil from your eyes.
Yeah.
Lord, help me to see.
Yes.
Lord, if there's a struggle in your family, if there's a situation, a disease, a health problem, a financial problem, a relational problem, whatever it is, if you don't see, Lord, take away the veil from my eyes right now that I can see you working in this thing right now, and you'll open your eyes and you'll begin to see God moving in your family, in your health, in your home, in your finances. You'll begin to see the things God wants to lead you to. He'll lead you to a job that you can financially take care. He'll lead you to the things you have need in your, if you're lonely, you can open your eyes. God will bring people or you to people that will help fulfill that area of your life righteously and pure. He does that through prayer. The veils will come down when we come to him in prayer. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to pray. Because he knows we'll see with a spiritual eye and we'll see the very thing that we need to see. Hallelujah. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way. That way, by the way, refers to the roadway. Speaks of two roads in Scripture, the broad road and the narrow road. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. To be free from spiritual blindness, one needs to delight in the word of God. Not as a boring thing, not as a frustrating thing, not as a hard thing, but take delight and say, God, you're going to do something in my life. Maybe not this moment, but maybe tomorrow, maybe next month, your word will come to life because it's a living word and you're going to show me something in here that's going to bring me closer to it or you closer to me. And we miss it. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
What? Put your hand up and wave at me.
Hallelujah.
Do it real fast now. Get that air moving in here. Get that blood flowing. Mortifying the flesh and walking in the spirit. One will remain spiritual blind if the flesh and its sinful pleasures are not overcome. If you have spirit of fleshly sin in your life and you need to get come to God in prayer, sincerely bow before him, pray, get help from another prayer warrior, God will bring deliverance.
Amen.
But if you think you can do it on your own out in the middle of the desert, forget it. That's what the body of Christ is for.
Yes.
You need prayer. You ask someone to pray with you that you can trust.
Amen. Yes.
We need to see the power of God move. We need the power of God in churches today. Amen. And in our homes. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Everyone that is not enlisted in the kingdom of God is walking in spiritual darkness and they're spiritually blind. And the only light of the gospel can bring liberation to them once they get witnessed to. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but they had pleasures in unrighteousness. To be enlisted in the kingdom of God, people, you need to be born again. You need to repent of your sins. You need to come to Christ and bow before him and say, God, come into my life and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Forgive me. I believe you came to earth. I believe you died and were rose again and are coming back. I believe that. And I want you in my life. When you do that, he will instantaneously come and save you if you mean it. Until then, you're spiritually blinded. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Faithful fellowship and sound doctrine. One of the ways of spiritual blindness is to remain faithful in your church going. Today, many Christians are taught you can have your full spiritual life okayed by staying home, watching on TV, watching the evangelist or whatever, and being by yourself. It doesn't work. It's against God's will, his way, because he knows when you're by yourself, you're an easy touch for the devil. But when you and I come together and we learn of each other's needs in our lives, we can pray one for another. The Holy Spirit can speak into you a word to me. I can speak a word of the Holy Spirit to you, but we can't do that if you're at home.
Amen.
The only time that works is if you have no other choice, then the Holy Spirit will fulfill areas of your life. That's why we support this church, supports Rejoice Radio.
Amen.
Because it gets into homes where we have shut-ins who can't get out. And they're being blessed and touched in a really godly manner. It's not one of these brand new whatever type Christian radio stations. It's one that's full of the power of God. Rejoice Radio. So in conclusion, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Whether we know it or not, spiritual blindness is a yoke of bondage. It's bondage. And only the anointing can totally, permanently destroy that yoke. It says in Isaiah 10:27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Because of the anointing, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is always present in every gathering of two. He's here today. The anointing's here today. And everyone can freely believe and receive deliverance by the Holy Spirit. You need deliverance. The anointing's here. You don't need to be going running over to this preacher, over to this thing, over to that thing. God can deliver you right here.
That's right.
Cost of gas. Christians will drive 5,000 miles to go hear a speaker on deliverance, when it's all they need to do is open up to him. He said, "I am the deliverer. I am the one." His name is I Am, not I wish I could or I think I can. He said, "I am the one who can deliver you." Isaiah 10:27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing of God." I believe in all those things. I believe in deliverance. I believe in all of it. But I believe God can do it right where I'm at too. The anointing is always present where you or I come together. Spiritual blindness is a great problem today. I want to say it again. That has great consequences on the life of both the person and the people around him or her. It's a problem today, and we got to get past that, people. We are in a time that Jesus told us to be alert and sober-minded, to be aware of our surroundings, what's happening around us right now, that the enemy is surrounding the camp. And many are unprepared because they're still lusting after the things of the world, just like the world. And the church is being taken out one at a time. That great falling away right now, it's happening.
Yep.
It's happening before our very eyes. Jesus said, beware of that. But people that aren't spiritually blinded, they just, you're just a spiritual nutcase. That's because they're spiritually blinded. Jesus said all this stuff in here. I got scripture to back it. Whenever we believe that we have plummeted the depths of God, whenever we think we arrived and we know it all, we act in spiritual blindness. I'll never reach that point. If I think I have, I'm in spiritual blindness. I need to stay in the Word. I need to study the Word. I need to live in the Word, act in the Word, think in the Word, eat in the Word, live, love in the Word, all of it. I need that. I need Jesus 24 hours a day. My prayer, Acts 28:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there anybody in here say, "Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus because I don't know I'd go to heaven"? And again, I want to say this. If you say you hope you will, you're spiritually blinded. Jesus said you can know. Jesus said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is there anybody who said, "Pastor, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I need salvation"? Just slip up your hand. Just slip it up. I let the Holy Spirit. I'm not concerned if any hands go up or don't. That's God's responsibility. My responsibility is to give you that invitation. We all had to do it. I had to do it. That's why I'm down here. I got saved. And if you're more concerned about the people around you and you won't do it because you don't want anybody to know, then you're more concerned about them than a God, and you're ashamed of God. Is there anybody? This could be your last chance. If you're not saved and you walk out of here, your heart will become hardened. The next preacher says it. You may not even hear him say it anymore. Is there anybody? One last time. Now, I want anybody and everybody, I want you all to start. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but I want you to come up here. If you say, I need help against spiritual blindness, come on up. Just come on up. Don't look around. Just come up and say, I want to pray with you, Pastor. I want to make sure that I'm not spiritually blinded in my life right now. I need to know that the power of God is with me. I need to know that God is moving in my life, in my family. I've been spiritually blind. I've been living a life that's contrary to God, and I think I'm doing it right. Come on. Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows everybody in here. He knows how you're living in secret. He knows what you're doing, and if you need your eyes open spiritually, just come on up. Don't worry about anybody else. I'm already up here. See, that makes it easy for me. But come on. Come on. There's others that need to be up here. Amen? Come on. God knows. Don't worry about anybody else. We need the power of God. I'm looking for the power. I have great expectation for the coming of the Lord. I have great expectation that God is supernaturally going to be moving. But the only ones who will see it are the ones that are not spiritually blinded. Spiritually blind people will not see the power of God move in such a way in the last day, because they'll be more focused on people and the world, and they'll miss God. What a sad situation. Be honest with the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira were dishonest with him. They died. I believe there will even come a time where people will begin to drop dead in churches that have been lying to the Holy Spirit. I believe it'll happen. We don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Many people, spiritually, if you're blinded or want to make sure I never become spiritually blind, just come on up. I'm going to pray. You can come up while I'm praying too. Everybody look up at me. You want to make sure your life, you can spiritually see every avenue of your life. Amen? Everything that's going in your personal lives that you know about, you know even some of the things are wrong, and you want to get them right with God today, right? You want to get your eyes open, and you want to walk away. You want to repent of certain things, right? Let's pray together. You out there, just put your hands toward us. We need the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, say with me, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, open my spiritual eyes. Help me to see the things that are driving my life. Help me to see. Come on, people, speak up. Help me to see. Help me to see the direction I need to go. I've been going down a wrong road. And I need my eyes cleaned. I need them clear. I need them spiritually open to make right decisions, to do right things, to go right directions. I need you, Holy Spirit. And I'm crying out to you. Do a work in my life. I need deliverance. I need power in my life. Holy Spirit, help me to see you working in my life, working in my family, working in my job, working in my school. Holy Spirit, help me not to walk in fear through spiritual blindness. Help me not to walk in perversion by spiritual blindness. Help me not to be stubborn in my spirit by being spiritually blinded. Help me to walk a holy walk with you, Lord. Open my eyes now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus. I know you're going to do a work in my life even right now. Right now, Lord, you're touching each one of these people's lives. They came up by faith. And Lord, I believe we're going to have people that are going to begin to walk the walk the way you desire them to, not the way I desire them to, but the way you desire them to, Father. These are your children, and you know each one personally. And some that are still back there may be still being spiritual blindness and stubbornness. Lord, you'll take care of them, not me. So, Lord, we just cast all of our care upon you right now. All these people's situation that came forward this morning, Lord. You see everyone. You are beginning a work right now. Let them put their trust in you. Say it with me, people. I will put my trust in you, Jesus. Say it again. I will put my trust in you, Jesus, in every area of my life. I will trust you for my health. I will trust you for deliverance. I will trust you for finances. I will trust you for my relationships. I will trust you in my job. I will trust you in my home. I will trust you in my school, because you never leave me, nor do you forsake me. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, Lord, I pray over this congregation. Your Holy Spirit power move amongst us. Bless every home spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, domestically, in every area, Lord. Let us all begin to spiritually see your mighty hand of work in these end times. And Lord, raise up more laborers into the harvest field, Father. My brothers and sisters in other churches, in other places, we encourage them to serve you, to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and said, I can see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord bless everybody. Hallelujah.